نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن هذا الملتقى المبارك إن شاء الله ملتقى يضم الخير من أبوابه، ويحوز الفضل من أطرافه، فإن عنوانه يدل على آثاره: نجاة الأمة في الاعتصام بالسنة. ولو أننا حللنا عنوان هذا الملتقى تحليلا دقيقا وربطناه بعضه ببعض عبر دلائل الكتاب والسنة لكان في ذلك من الخير الشيء الكثير، ولكنه سيكون له من الوقت أيضا الشيء الكثير. وأيضا سيعالج إخوة لنا في الله من طلبة العلم والدعاة إلى الله، سيعالجون أطرافا متعددة متعلقة بهذا العنوان ومرتبطة بهذا المضمون، كل من زاوية وبمنظار، حتى إذا اجتمعت أطراف هذه الكلمات وإذا تضامت جوانب هذه المحاضرات كان ذلك إن شاء الله لبنات قوية وعزمات شديدة في صرح الدعوة إلى الله وفي بناء المجتمع المسلم الذي ينشده كل منا بين آمال القلب وبين آلام الواقع، حتى يكون المسلمون كما أرادهم الله وكما كانوا من قبل خير أمة أخرجت للناس. هذه الخيرية لا ترجع للأمة وهي على ما هي عليه إلا إذا اعتصمت بالسنة، فإن نجاة الأمة في الاعتصام بالسنة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The Sheikh began by saying some of Khutbat al-Hajjah, as you all know, and by informing us that this meeting that we're having today, in his estimation, it is blessed, inshallah, and there is a lot of good that is desired from it, that will come from it. As we can see in the very title that has been chosen for this lecture and for this conference, he said, if we begin to concentrate upon this title about the success of the Ummah coming as a result of holding on to the Sunnah, if we were to concentrate on this title, as well as the proofs from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah that support this title, no doubt there is going to be a lot of khair or a lot of good that is going to be reaped, inshallah ta'ala. He said that we have, inshallah, some du'as or people who call to al-Islam, and some students of knowledge who are also going to participate, and each and every one of them has a certain aspect that they're going to deal with concerning this conference. Each and every person who's going to talk here, they're going to take an aspect of this title, the success of the Ummah coming from holding on tightly to the Sunnah. And inshallah, when we bring all of those talks together, there's going to be a lot of good in that thing, inshallah ta'ala. He also went on to say that this is going to be a tremendous lesson to be reaped from the Muslim Ummah, from the Muslim community, so that inshallah, after we get this blessings and these benefits, we're going to be as Allah Ta'ala wants us to be, the best Ummah or community that was brought forth for the people. And he said that this khayriyah or this goodness that Allah Ta'ala was talking about, us being the best Ummah and community brought forth for the people, is not going to happen, that we're going to be the best Ummah except by what this title was talking about. That we as an Ummah realize that our success is going to come as a result of us firmly holding on to the Sunnah.
وحتى تكون هذه الكلمة الافتتاحية ذات دلالات تفيد السامعين حول عنوان هذا الملتقى، لابد من الإشارة إلى إضاءات ولو كانت سريعة توقفهم على شيء من معاني هذا العنوان العظيم والواسع والشامل. فعندما نقول نجاة الأمة في الاعتصام بالسنة، قولنا نجاة الأمة فيه إشارة إلى ما يقابل النجاة، وما يقابل النجاة هو الخسران والهلاك والسقوط والهوي والغرق. فالأمة إن لم تكن قائمة ومستعدة لما ينجيها فإنها تكون غارقة، تكون هالكة، تكون خاسرة. وهذا الأمر هو ما ذكره الله سبحانه في علاه في سورة تعد من أقصر سور القرآن حروفا وكلمات، لكنها من أوسعها معاني ودلالات، ألا وهي سورة العصر التي يقول الله تبارك وتعالى فيها: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. فكل حي من بني الإنسان محكوم عليه بالخسران، محكوم عليه بالويل والثبور، محكوم عليه بالهلاك والغرق والضعف والخور، ما لم يكن ناجيا بإيمانه، ناجيا بعمله الصالح، ما لم يكن متمسكا بما يصلح نفسه ويسدد دربه ويقيمه على قاعدة النجاح، ألا وهي الالتزام بسنة النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh went on to say that the opening statements that he's going to make in this conference, there are certain points that he has to speak about and touch upon, so that we can understand the significance of the title that he's going to address. He said that when we say the najat of the Ummah, or the success of the Ummah, we need to understand that the opposite of najat or success is failure or being at a loss.
He went on to say that the ummah, if it is not ready to do those things that are right and those things that will help it to be successful, verily the ummah will die and it will lose. He said that this understanding that he's talking about can be understood and proven from a short surah of the Quran. One of the shortest surahs of the Quran in terms of the words of that surah and in terms of the letters that are contained in that surah, the huruf of that surah. He said that even though this surah is short in its words and in the letters that are contained therein, the meaning of this surah is tremendous. And that is the surah that is well known as Surah Al-Asr, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala swears by this Asr that all of mankind is in a state of loss, except those who believe in Allah Ta'ala and those who do righteous deeds and those who give one another advice on being patient and doing what is right. He said, according to this, every single living creature, every single human being is in a state of loss and he will be destroyed, no doubt about it. And he is weak as long as he does not have this iman and he does not have these good deeds. And that he will be destroyed, no doubt, if he does not take what this title that we're speaking about today is encouraging him to do and is explaining, that is holding on to the sunnah firmly.
ولا بد ها هنا من ذكر أمر مهم للغاية، وهو أن الناس، وأعني المسلمين، لو أنهم نظروا إلى الأمور نظرة مادية خالصة وقارنوا أحوالهم الحياتية التي يعيشونها حاليا بذلهم وضعفهم وهوانهم حتى على أنفسهم مقابلة مع قوة الكفار وجبروتهم وعلوهم في الأرض، لهانت عليهم حتى عقولهم وأحلامهم، ولا أصابهم القنوط وضرب جذور قلوبهم. لكن المؤمن الحق هو الذي يعلم أن النصر ليس فقط بالعدة والعدد والعدد، هذا شيء قد أمر به، لكنه ليس هو الشيء الذي ينصر المؤمنين على أعدائهم الكافرين. إنما الذي ينصرهم هو طاعتهم ربهم واتباعهم سنة نبيهم صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول الله عز وجل: إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. ويقول الله عز وجل: ولينصرن الله من ينصره، إن الله لقوي عزيز. ويقول الله عز وجل: وما بكم من نعمة فمن الله. وبالمقابل فإن أي خسران وأي ضعف وأي هوي فإنما يكون ناتجا من النفوس المريضة والقلوب الضعيفة، كما قال الله عز وجل: قل هو من عند أنفسكم. وكما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في تلكم الآيات التي نزلت في أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قرآنا يتلى إلى يوم القيامة وعظا وتعليما تربية وإرشادا: ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم فلم تغن عنكم شيئا وضاقت عليكم الأرض بما رحبت ثم وليتم مدبرين. لماذا؟ لأن مرضا واحدا يسيرا جدا بالنسبة إلى أمراضنا اليوم وما حل بنا في هذه الأيام الحوالك، مرضا واحدا يسيرا أصابهم، فكان جراء ذلك من الضعف والهزيمة ما الله به عليم. وحتى يتنبه المسلمون إلى أهمية الصلة بالله وأهمية الثبات على طاعة الله، بيّن ذلك النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بقوله: إنما تنصرون وترزقون بضعفائكم بدعائهم. إذن فإن الصلة بالله والاتباع لسنة رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم أمر يعد سلاحا، وأي سلاح؟ والمسلمون اليوم يهملون هذا الأمر ولا يتلفتون له ولا يتنبهون إليه، فإذا هم قد أضاعوا من بين أيديهم أمرا يعينهم أن يركبوا سفينة النجاة لتنجو بها الأمة وتسعد بها القلوب وتنتعش بها العقول. والرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول: العبادة في الهرج، أي الفتنة والقتل، كهجرة إلي. إذن كلما ازدادت الفتن وأظلمت المحن، كلما وجب على العبد المؤمن أن يزداد لله طاعة وله عبادة ولرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم اتباعا، فإن هذا كله سيكون بمجمله من الأمور التي تعينه على أن يدلي لنفسه بحبل النجاة الذي يكون فيه صلاحه وتكون فيه نجاته.
The Sheikh went on to mention that it's extremely important for him to mention a few points. He said that the Muslims, if they look at their affairs from the standpoint and from the view that they look at them and they only consider the monetary aspects of the affairs, meaning how many people are they, how much money do they possess, what are the abilities to look at the affairs monetarily. He said if the Muslims were to do that, and if they were to compare their condition, their conditions of weakness, their condition of not having any strength, if they were to compare themselves with the situation of the kuffar and the condition of the kuffar, the non-Muslims, just this mere comparison will cause the minds of the Muslims as well as the hearts of the Muslims to give up hope and to feel bad about the situation. But the true believer, the mu'min, he knows that the help or the nasr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not come because of numbers, nor does it come as a result only of preparation. He understands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered him that that is not the case. But he understands that the help comes when he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and when he follows and obeys the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, if you people help Allah, if you help Allah by believing in Him and by practicing His religion, Allah will help you and He will establish your feet firmly. And he went on to read another ayat of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily If you help Allah, Allah is going to assist you and give you victory. For verily Allah is Qawi Aziz. Allah is most powerful, mighty. Then he went on to mention another ayat of the Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this ni'mah, or these blessings that we receive as individuals or ummah, it is solely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentioned those three ayahs to explain and to express to us, ikhwan, that the help is not understood by the Muslim in terms of how many numbers they are, nor in terms of how much preparation they have, but it's understood by them practicing what Allah told them and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that any loss or any weakness that we find in this ummah, any afflictions that are taking place in this ummah, we need to understand that that comes as a direct result of us not listening and obeying Allah and His Messenger. The proof of that is the ayat in the Quran that the Shaykh recited, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if any evil befalls you people, this community, it is as a result of what you have sent forth. And he went on to explain another ayat in the Quran. This ayat that is going to be recited until Yawm al-Qiyamah. This ayat that came down concerning the Sahaba, to be a lesson to all of the people who came after them, as well as to be a lesson to them. And that is the incident of what happened at the Battle of Hunayn, in which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said to the Prophet and the believers, and the day of Hunayn, in which your numbers impressed you, but it did not help your situation one bit. He was talking about how the Muslims on that day had a lot of numbers, but in spite of their many numbers, they were defeated by the kuffar in the war because they didn't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. So the Muslim who comes now, he also realizes from that example of what happened at the day of Hunayn, when the Muslims met the kuffar, that the success and the victory comes when we obey Allah and His Messenger. So we need to see the importance of this fact, ikhwan, and not lose sight of it. And we need to realize that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has told us in the authentic hadith, he said, verily you people will be helped. The nasr of Allah will come to you as a result of the weak ones from amongst you and the dua that they make. Your help and your victory will come as a result of the weak ones who are from amongst you and the dua that they make, the supplication that they make to Allah ta'ala. So our connection to Allah and the following of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a weapon. Is a weapon that the Muslims need to realize that it can be used. And the Muslims today do not understand this point. They should realize that the ship that will allow them to be saved, the ship that they have to ride in order to be saved, is the ship in which they start to take what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left for them. The Prophet has told us in the authentic hadith that worship in the times of fitna, when the time of fitna comes and befalls this ummah, the worship during that time is like the one who makes hijrah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of the reward. So whenever the Muslim finds that he is confronted with fitna, calamity, catastrophe, he needs to understand that when he takes the Quran and the Sunnah and he starts to practice Islam, this is like ibadah. This worship is like making hijrah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whenever the fitna comes, the believer, he starts to hold on to the Sunnah even more, and this inshallah will allow and help him to save himself.
واما الاعتصام فان اول ما يرد على الذهن ذكره هو قول الله عز وجل واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. فالاعتصام كلمة تحمل معنى التمسك والتوحد، فلا يكون المسلمون معتصمين إذا كانوا متمسكين وفي الوقت نفسه تفرقوا، ولا يكونون أيضا معتصمين إذا توحدوا لكن على غير السنة. فإذا كان تمسكهم بالسنة وتوحدهم على السنة فهم المعتصمون المتمسكون الثابتون الذين ينطبق عليهم ذلك الأمر الذي أمر الله تعالى به عباده الصالحين، واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا.
He went on to say, as for the issue of holding on to the sunnah, al-i'tisam. Before, when we began, the Shaykh was talking about al-najat, the success of the ummah, and we translated all of that. Now he wants to talk to you, brothers and sisters, about al-i'tisam, the actual holding on. He said, whenever we want to talk about this i'tisam or this holding on, the thing that comes to our mind and the thing that has to be mentioned is the ayah in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word and he says to the believers, hold on to the rope of Allah altogether. Hold on to the cable of Allah altogether and do not be divided amongst yourselves. He said that this word, al-i'tisam, holds a lot of meaning. The two basic meanings that we understand from this ayah is that holding on implies a tamassuk, actually holding on, and it also applies a tawahud, which means unification, unity amongst the Muslims. He said if the Muslims want to be mu'tasimun, those people who are holding on correctly, then two things have to be happening. They have to be holding on to this sunnah, and they have to be united amongst themselves. He said, so if you find the Muslims, mutamassikeen, if they are actually holding on but they are divided amongst themselves, then what the ayat is talking about is not being applied. And if you find the Muslims being united but they're not being united on the sunnah, they are also not applying this ayat as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them to do so. So you brothers need to understand that the point that the Shaykh is trying to make here is the ayat that Allah Ta'ala is talking about here is pointing to the two facts that we have to be holding on to the Quran and the Sunnah as well as united amongst ourselves on the same Quran and Sunnah.
وأما السنة التي يترتب على الاعتصام بها نجاة الأمة فلها معان متعددة أشملها وأوسعها وأعمقها معنيان. أما أولهما فهو الهدي المنقول عن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام مما يغني صاحبه أجرا وثوابا، وأما المعنى الآخر فهو الطريق الذي سلكه الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام في حياته وفي دعوته في أمره وفي نهيه في ترغيبه وفي ترهيبه، وكلا المعنيين قد وردا في السنة. أما المعنى الأول فقد ورد في حديث العرباض ابن سارية رضي الله تعالى عنه عندما قال وعظنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة وجلت منها القلوب وذرفت لها الدموع فقلنا يا رسول الله كأنها موعظة مودع فأوصنا، قال أوصيكم بتقوى الله والسمع والطاعة، وإن تأمر عليكم عبد حبشي وإنه من يعش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا وإنه من يعش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. وفي حديث آخر وهو حديث خطبة الحاجة زاد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قوله وكل ضلالة في النار. فهذا الحديث بين الداء وبين الدواء، فإنه من يعش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا. فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي، قال فعضوا عليها، أم عليهما؟ عليها، فعضوا عليها بالنواجذ. وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور. هكذا يخبرنا ويرشدنا نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام الحريص على الأمة الداعي إياها إلى الخير الراغب بها إلى الفضل والنور. عسى أن تستجيب وعسى أن ترتجع. فمن تمسك بهديه واعتصم بأمره فهو الناجي، ومن خالف وتخاذل وتهاون وتنكب فهو المخذول والخاسر والغارق والهالك عياذا بالله، بل هو الضال المضل الذي لا هداية له إلا بتوبة يرسلها من أعماق قلبه لتجد قبولا عند ربه يسدده بها إلى الحق ويرجعه بها إلى جادة السنة. وأما المعنى الثاني ألا هو معنى الطريق، ففي حديث النفر الثلاثة الذين جاءوا إلى بيوت أزواج النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يسألونهن عن عبادته وعن طاعته ربه، فلما أخبروا بذلك قالوا أو قال أحدهم أما أنا فأصوم ولا أفطر، وأما الثاني فقال أما أنا فأقوم الليل ولا أرقد ولا أنام، وأما الثالث فقال وأما أنا فلا أتزوج النساء، ظن أن إعراضه عن الحلال نوع من العفة وهو بذلك غالط غلطا شديدا. فلما وصل الخبر رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه ناداهم وأمر بهم، فلما سألهم وقالوا قولتهم وكرروا ما هم عليه قال عليه الصلاة والسلام أما أنا فأصوم وأفطر وأقوم الليل وأرقد وأتزوج النساء، كأنما يقول هذا طريقي، فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. إذن هذا نبي الإسلام عليه الصلاة والسلام الذي قال الله عز وجل فيه وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، يجعل ذكر السنة وحدها إشارة إلى الدين قرآنا وسنة. فكما ورد في هذين الحديثين ذكر السنة فقط إشارة إلى الهدي والطريق، ورد معنى أوسع من ذلك في أحاديث أخرى ودلائل أخرى.
The Sheikh went on to mention that the Sunnah, this Sunnah that we're talking about today, the Sunnah that our Najat or our success is going to come as a result of us holding on to it very tightly, it has many meanings. But the best meaning and the most precise meaning and the meaning that he wants to talk about are two that he wants to discuss today. The first one, he said, it is the guidance that is accepted. The guidance that will save the person who follows it and holds on to it, and it will give him reward and it will make him on the right way. That's the first meaning. The second meaning of the sunnah is that it is the way or the tariq that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam followed in his life, and the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave da'wah to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and the affairs in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered, and the things that he prohibited, and the things that he encouraged the Muslims to do, and the things that he discouraged the Muslims from doing. These are the two meanings of the sunnah, the two best meanings of the sunnah. He said in these sunnahs, these two meanings that he has given, they come in the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. One of those hadith is the authentic hadith that's been narrated to us by that great, tremendous and illustrious companion, Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them an exhortation or a speech that caused their hearts to tremble and to become fearful, and it caused their eyes to shed tears. So they said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, it is as if you're giving us a farewell speech, so please advise us. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, I advise you to fear Allah and to listen and to obey the leader, even if a Abyssinian slave becomes your leader. For verily, those from amongst you who live for a long time, you're going to see a lot of ikhtilaf or a lot of differences occurring. When this happens, you have to take my sunnah or my way and the way of the rightly guided khulafa, and you have to hold on to that with your molar, and beware of newly invented things in the religion. For verily, every newly invented a thing is a going astray. And then he mentioned concerning this another narration in which the Prophet ﷺ added on to that, and every going astray is leading into the hellfire. And then the Shaykh went on to say that this hadith, in which he was using to explain the two meanings of the sunnah that he gave previously, he said that this hadith of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ explains to us the sickness, and it also explains to us at the same time the cure for the sickness. He said that the sickness is the ikhtilaf, or the differences of opinions that are going to occur. And the dawa, or the medicine, or the cure for that sickness being holding on to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And also part of the sickness is the newly invented things in the religion, the innovation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us and he explained to us, and he guided us to this light, and he guided us to this guidance. He wanted us to understand that our success is in this hadith that the Shaykh was mentioning. So therefore, the Shaykh says, whoever obeys Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he will get the success. And whoever does other than that, in that he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be a loser. He will drown, or he will be of those who have been destroyed. He will not only be of those people who he just described, a loser, one who is drowned, the one who is destroyed, but he will also be astray, and he will lead others astray. And the only way that he's going to get any good is that he makes tawbah. Not that he only makes tawbah, but he makes tawbah from the inner recesses of his heart to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, asking Allah ta'ala to return him back to the right way, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him for what he has put forth. The second hadith that explains this definition of the sunnah that the Shaykh gave previously is the hadith of the three companions who went to the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask them about the Prophet's behavior when he was in their presence. As for one of them, they said, after listening to what his wives had to say, I am never going to go to sleep at night, but in fact I'm going to pray all night long. The second one said, I'm going to fast all the time. And the third one said, I'm never going to marry women. This third one, who decided along with his two companions to do these things, they thought by leaving these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for them, it would give them iffah in their religion. And iffah simply means some type of taqarruf or getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing this and being known, made known what their condition was and what they were saying, he called these people together and he wanted to address their issue. And he said, as for me, verily I fast and I break my fast. I stand up at night and I also lay down and I go to sleep. And I marry women. So anyone who intentionally leaves my sunnah, he is not from me. The Shaykh went on to say that it was as if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying to these men, verily this is my way. And in following my way is success. And in holding on to my way is success. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, whatever the Prophet gives you people, take it. And whatever the Prophet tells you to leave it alone, whatever he prohibits from you, leave it alone. Mentioning this understanding is extremely important to us, and we need to understand again, to summarize what he's been saying, is that the sunnah has many meanings, but these are the two meanings that he feels is the best meaning.
ولقد ورد ذكر السنة مع الكتاب في حديث آخر، كما سبق أن ذكرنا حديثين فيهما ذكر السنة فقط، ورد حديث آخر فيه ذكر السنة مقرونة مع الكتاب، وهو قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: تركت فيكم أمرين ما إن تمسكتم بهما لم تضلوا بعدي أبدا، كتاب الله وسنتي. وكذلك ورد حديث ثالث أو رابع فيه ذكر أمر تركه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ولم يسمه لا سنة ولا سنة وكتابا، وإنما ذكر وصفه وأن فيه الهداية، فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: تركتكم على مثل البيضاء نقية، ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. ما هي هذه التي تركنا عليها وتركها لنا رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، إن لم تكن هي السنة التي ورد ذكرها في حديث عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين، أو هي الكتاب والسنة ولا فرق، كما في حديث تركت فيكم أمرين ما إن تمسكتم بهما لن تضلوا بعدي أبدا، كتاب الله وسنتي. فعندما نقول السنة، فإن السنة من حيث الحجية كالكتاب. لذلك قال من قال من أئمة السلف رحمهم الله: السنة سفينة نوح، من ركبها نجا ومن تركها هلك. وقال من قال منهم أيضا: الاعتصام بالسنة نجاة. وقال من قال منهم أيضا: السنة قاضية على الكتاب وليس الكتاب قاضيا على السنة، كالإمام مالك وغيره. ومعنى قوله قاضية أي أنها مجملة ومجملة للكتاب ومفسرة له ومبينة لأحكامه وزائدة عليه أمورا متعددة، كمثل مثلا بيان موضع القطع لليد
في السرقة هذا لم يظهر الحكم إلا في السنة، كمثل استثناء السمك من الميتة والكبد من الدم وهكذا، هذا كله ليس واردا في القرآن إنما واردا في السنة. بل الصلاة التي نحن نصليها بعددها وهيئاتها وأركانها وسننها وشروطها، كل ذلك لم يرد في الكتاب وإنما ورد في السنة. من أجل ذلك يروى عن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال: سيأتي أقوام يجادلونكم بالقرآن فخذوهم بالسنن فإن القرآن.
To imply that they both are to be followed together. And then we have a fourth hadith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't actually mention the Quran nor does he mention the sunnah, but he describes both of them. And from the description we understand what is implied. The implication is the Quran and the sunnah. And that is the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily I have left you people with that which is what's known as, he's described it as being baydan qiyan, that it is white, it's clear. There is no doubt about it. There is no ambiguity to it. It is not ambiguous. It's very, very clear. He said, whoever leaves it, he will be destroyed. He went on to say that this description that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no doubt the sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in that past hadith that he mentioned, to take his hadith and to take his sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, those rightly guided Khalifa. The Shaykh went on to say that we have to take the Quran. He wanted to mention some of the statements of the a'imma of this religion, the ulama of the past. He said that one, he said that one of the ulama used to say that the sunnah is like the ship of Nuh, the ship of Noah. Whoever rides it, he will be successful. He will be successful. And whoever allows it to pass him by and he doesn't ride it, he doesn't take it, he will be of the losers. He also said that some of the ulama of the past, they used to say that the i'tisam or holding on to the sunnah is najat. It is in and of itself success. He went on to mention another statement that he attributed to Al-Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, in which he said that the sunnah is qadiyah on the Quran, on the kitab. He said, what does this mean that the sunnah is qadiyah on the kitab? He said that it means that the sunnah explains the Quran. The things that the Quran left wide open with many interpretations, you can have many interpretations, the sunnah came and it explains it. The sunnah came also to make things clear where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran did not necessarily make it clear, or a ziyada of what the Quran was saying. For an example, in the issue of the person who steals something or the sariq, the Quran does not explain to us where we chop his hand off. But the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to explain to us where his hand is chopped off. He said also an example of what the sunnah does is that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the Quran has made it prohibited for us to eat blood. But the sunnah comes and it makes some exceptions in that it allows us to eat fish. It allows us to eat the liver or the spleen. And allows us to eat these things that only we can find them in the sunnah. Even the salat, which is the second pillar of al-Islam, we find that the sunnah is the thing that comes to explain to us the conditions of the salat, the sunnahs of the salat that the Prophet ﷺ left for us and taught us. It is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that has taught us the arkan of the salat or the pillars of the salat. So therefore, ikhwan, we need to understand the significance of the statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he said that there are going to come some people who will argue with you with the Quran, They would take the Quran and they would try to argue with the Quran. Ali gave us some advice or some nasiha, and he said to us, when these people come and they start to argue with you using the Quran, then you take the sunnah and you use the sunnah to argue back with them. For verily every single deviant can come and he can use the Quran to support whatever deviation he has in his mind. But it is the sunnah that explains to us what is actually meant from this Quran. And only those people from Ahl Sunnah, those people who are the people who are on the sunnah and who are calling to the sunnah and the way of the righteous predecessors, the Salaf, these are the people who understand that we need to take this Quran and understand this Quran according to the understanding that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained to us in his authentic sunnah.
ونحن أيها الإخوة في الله نردد مع ذلك القائل قوله إن فلاح الأمة ونجاحها هو فقط في امتثال أوامر الله وعلى طريق رسول الله، أي على وفق السنة. ولكن هذه الكلمة عندما نقولها لا نقولها بلساننا ونخالف ذلك بأفعالنا، لا نقولها بأفواهنا وتخالفها صدورنا، لا نقولها مشرقين وإذا بنا سائرين مغربين، على حد قول القائل سارت مشرقة وسرت مغربة، شتان بين مشرق ومغرب. لا، إنما إذا قلناها نعلم أن لها واجبات وحقوقا يجب تأديتها وينبغي أداؤها والبعد عما يخالفها. إن معنى السنة الذي نقصده ونريده ونذكر به ونركز عليه وندعو إليه هو المعنى الشامل للسنة، هو المعنى الكامل للهدي النبوي، وليس فقط اللحية، وإن كانت من السنة وإن كانت دينا وخيرا، وليست فقط الثوب وإن كان من السنة وإن كان دينا وخيرا، وليس فقط العمامة وإن كانت من السنة وإن كانت دينا وخيرا، وليس فقط أن تنام على السنة أو أن تأكل باليمنى أو أن تخرج من المسجد بالشمال، وإن كان هذا كله من السنة وكله فيه الخير والبركة، لكنه معنى من معان شاملة وصورة من صور متكاملة، لا ينبغي أن نأخذ شيئا وأن ندع أشياء. إن السنة التي نريدها هي ذلك الطريق الذي وقف عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأشار بيده إليه حيث خط خطا مستقيما وخط على جوانبه خطوطا متعرجة، ثم قال هذا سبيل الله وهذه سبل، على رأس كل منها شيطان، ثم تلا قوله تعالى وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله. تأملوا قوله فتفرق بكم عن سبيله، وتأملوا قوله واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. فالاعتصام الكامل الذي فيه النجاة وفيه السعادة وفيه الفوز وفيه الهناءة كلها إنما هو الاعتصام بصراط الله المستقيم، وهي السنة المشرفة والهدي النبوي وما يخالفها إلا هالك، كما قال النبي عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. فالتفرق عنها والبعد منها من أسباب الهلاك والخسران، وأيضا التشرذم على شيء منها دون التمسك بها كلها أيضا على أبواب من الخلل والزوغان. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا والمسلمين لأن نكون هداة مهديين متبعين لسنة أفضل النبيين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وقبل ذلك ملتزمين بكتاب رب العالمين اللذين هما الخير كله والفضل كله والنور كله، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام في الحديث الذي ذكرته مرات ومرات: تركت فيكم أمرين ما إن تمسكتم بهما لن تضلوا بعدي أبدا، كتاب الله وسنتي. ورب العالمين يقول في كتابه المبين عن سيد النبيين صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه أجمعين: وإن تطيعوه تهتدوا. اللهم إنا نسألك أن نكون من الهداة المهديين، آمين يا رب العالمين. وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Our Sheikh Abu al-Harith, Hafizullah Ta'ala, went on to say, we must say, that the success of this ummah, the falah of this ummah and the najat of this ummah, as he has said so many times in this talk, comes as a direct result of us obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger according to the sunnah, according to the way we're supposed to do so. He said, when he says this, it doesn't mean that we just make this statement and we make this proclamation with our tongue, and then we allow our actions to go against what our tongues are actually saying. Nor are we to say this with our tongues and let our hearts go against what our tongues are professing. We can't allow our tongues and our actions, our hearts and our actions, contradict this statement that we're making when he says that we have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger in order to attain this success. He said that we must know that when we say this, that this is something that has to be practiced no matter what. Ikhwan, we have to practice it. We have to practice it according to our dawah, the way that we make dawah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to practice this in the way that we act. We have to practice this in our desires and the things that we want. He said, we want the real sunnah and the real guidance from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, do not let any of you think that when he says that the sunnah is the sunnah, that he only wants you to focus upon the beard. He said that this beard is a good thing and it's blessed and it's from Islam and it is Islam. And it's a good thing. But this is not what he's talking about alone. Do not let any of you think that the sunnah that he's talking about is the thawb. And this thawb is good. And it's from Islam. And it should be worn and it should be done. Do not let any of you think that the sunnah is wearing an imamah or a turban, or sleeping according to the sunnah. Or do not let any of you think that the sunnah, when he says we have to take and practice and hold on to the sunnah, do not let any of you allow your minds to think that he's only talking about eating with your right hand, which is good and blessed and from Islam. Or it's leaving the masjid with your right foot, which is correct and from Islam, and it is the sunnah. He said, but we want you to understand the complete picture of what he means by the sunnah. And not that we take some of it and we leave other portions of it. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he pointed his finger, when he explained, according to this hadith, in which the companion said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a line for them that was long and straight, and then he made adjacent lines to the right and to the left of that line. And then he pointed to the line that was straight and long in the middle, and he said, verily this is the sirat of Allah, al-mustaqim. This is the straight way of Allah. This is the way of Allah that is straight. And then he pointed to the other adjacent lines on the right and the left, and he said, these are ways, these are subuls. Each way has a shaitan on it, calling to it. He said, concentrate. And make this ta'ammul to the ayat that he mentioned before and in this hadith. In this hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew this line, and he made the adjacent lines, he told us an ayat in the Quran, verily this is my surah, follow it. And do not follow the different ways. He prohibited us from making this tafarruq or this division in this ayat. He said to concentrate on this aspect of the ayat, as well as the previous ayat that he mentioned in the Quran when Allah told us to hold on to the rope of Allah altogether and not to be divided. For verily both of these texts, the one from the Quran that is in this hadith, in this ayat, and the other one, are showing us that the true i'tisam, or holding on, comes as a result of us being united, number one, and also as a result of us being of those people who hang on to these sources. So after this, ikhwan, the Shaykh went on to say that this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in it is guidance. No one goes against it, intentionally or unintentionally, except that he will be destroyed as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is at the door of destruction, so he needs to be careful. And then after that, he finished by supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us on the sunnah and make us of those people who hang on to the sunnah and who practice the sunnah properly. And he said this ayat, this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily I have left you two things. You will never go astray as long as you hang on to them, the book of Allah and his sunnah. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who take these two sources and who hang on to them, so that inshallah we could be successful. And he says that Allah ta'ala tells us in the Quran, if you obey Allah, if you obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will be guided. And he said that our last da'wah is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.